in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. I'd ask you 3 or 4 years ago if you had ever heard of technocracy. You probably would not have raised your hands. Today, this is changing. My book, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, has made the rounds to every corner of the world. The internet journal that I founded, technocracy.news, has accumulated thousands of daily readers, including many journalists, researchers, and radio talk show hosts, who are dedicated to raising an alarm. For those who have discovered the real enemy among us, the battle lines have been drawn and engagement has begun. But that is exactly the problem. Who is the real enemy and how can you fight an enemy you do not know? Is it corrupt politicians, communists, fascists, the United Nations, the CFR, Bilderbergers, Muslims? I suggest that the real enemy has been hiding in plain sight and that it is technocracy, along with its technocrat practitioners. Let me take you back to 1970, when Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote his seminal book, Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. This was the book that endeared Brzezinski to David Rockefeller, and that led to their co-creation of the Trilateral Commission in 1973. The Trilateral Commission wrote extensively about creating a new international economic order. Members from Europe, Japan, and North America met behind closed doors to plot the future of the world's economic system. After I discovered historic technocracy several years ago, I went back over Brzezinski's book again. Sure enough, his technotronic era was nothing more than warmed-over technocracy from the 1930s. But he said we were between two ages, which means he was writing about three periods of time, not just two. The old age was the orthodox age of biblical influence, an age of borders, culture, and language, an age of national unity, an age of strong family values and morality. Brzezinski's future age was the technotronic era, or technocracy, governance by rules enforced by technology, social engineering according to science, systems theory applied to the social mechanism. The current age, seen in 1970, was the age of transition from the old into the new. It was the beginning of the postmodern era at that time. It was the era of deconstruction of the first age. It was the age of communism, socialism, and anarchy, all of which were anathema to the old system and served to tear it apart. Many people thought Brzezinski was a Marxist, but he was not. On one hand, he hated the former Soviet Union, but on the other, he loved China, which was at the time a communist dictatorship. How can you explain this dichotomy? Well, here's how. Brzezinski wrote that communism was only a stepping stone on the road to technocracy. He never depicted communism as the endgame, but only the means to the end. It was the force that would destroy the old and make way for the new. In 1978, it was Brzezinski, working as National Security Advisor to President Jimmy Carter, who brought China into the Trilateral Commission orbit. A top policymaker at the time said, and I quote, "He had the central role behind the scenes, and he was all alone in the press play. I'm told that the president thinks Zbig did 99% of the work on China," close quote. At the same time in 1978, The Trilateral Commission released Triangle Paper No. 15, titled An Overview of East-West Relations. It stated, and I quote again, quote, "To grant China favorable conditions in economic relations is definitely in the political interest of the West. There seems to exist sufficient ways for aiding China in acceptable forms with advanced civilian technology." Close quote. Over the next 20 years, Trilateral Commission corporate members flooded China with technology, infrastructure projects, factories, and services. We all know how quickly China became a global superpower. In June 2001, Time magazine finally let the cat out of the bag. Time had been tightly connected to the Trilateral Commission since 1973, by the way. Its article titled Made in China, Revenge of the Nerds, clearly articulated the results. Quote, "In the 20 years since Deng Xiaoping's reforms kicked in, the composition of the Chinese leadership has shifted markedly in favor of technocrats. It is no exaggeration to describe the current regime as a technocracy," Time magazine. The article went on to say, quote, "During the 1980s, technocracy as a concept was much talked about, especially in the context of so-called neo-authoritarianism, the principle at the heart of the Asian development model that South Korea, Singapore, and Taiwan had pursued with apparent success. The basic beliefs and assumptions of the technocrats were laid out quite plainly. Social and economic problems were akin to engineering problems and could be understood, addressed, and eventually solved as such." Close quote. And there you have it. The first big outcome of the Trilateral Commission's new international economic order was the creation of a technocracy in the largest nation in the world. It is not correct today to refer to China as a communist dictatorship. Even though some of the old trappings are still visible, it is a technocracy run by technocrats. It is also turning into the most repressive society ever seen on planet Earth. That is, it's turning into a scientific dictatorship. So let's take a look at technocracy. Technocracy was formalized by scientists and engineers at Columbia University in 1932. It was a resource-based economic model specifically designed to replace capitalism and free enterprise. Money was to be replaced by energy currency, and direct control would be asserted over all production and all consumption. All politicians would be summarily dismissed, and technocrats would rule by appointment. The movement got kicked out of Columbia because its principal spokesman at the time, Howard Scott, was discovered to be a fraud who had no technical degree of any kind. In 1933, Scott and his good friend, M. King Hubbert, started a membership organization called Technocracy Incorporated, or Technocracy Inc., and proceeded to popularize the technocracy doctrine across the United States and Canada. At its peak, Technocracy Inc. had over 500,000 card-carrying, dues-paying members. It had hundreds of local chapters, held massive rallies, and filled auditoriums with people eager to hear how they intended to save the world. Technocracy was banned in Canada in 1940 because people associated it with Nazi Germany. And there were good reasons for that, by the way, but I won't digress at this point. Generally, by the mid-1940s, technocracy was rejected by the American people as well, and its membership quickly dwindled. However, in 1938, the Technocrat magazine printed a very succinct definition of technocracy that still stands today. Quote, "Technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population." Close quote. To a technocrat, every problem has a scientific solution. They are the hammer, and the whole world is a nail. They, and only they, know how to determine which is the scientific solution that will work best. Dissent or rebuttal is not tolerated, and science deniers may well deserve punishment. Now, you already have a little history on China and its transformation to technocracy. But there was another unexpected twist to this story. In 1992, the first Earth Summit was held in Rio de Janeiro, led by globalist Maurice Strong and sponsored by the United Nations. The agenda for the 21st century, or Agenda 21 as it was called, introduced the topic of sustainable development to the world. Thanks to the persistence of the United Nations, sustainable development has become official economic doctrine in every nation in the world. Maurice Strong and other UN leaders overwhelmingly praised one person as the principal creator and hero of Agenda 21 and sustainable development. That person was Gro Harlem Brundtland, former Prime Minister of Norway and at the time a prominent member of the Trilateral Commission. That's right, you heard me correctly. The Trilateral Commission fed their, quote, new economic order of technocracy to the United Nations under the name of sustainable development, lock, stock, and barrel. The markers of sustainable development are clearly the same as original technocracy. Both are resource-based economic systems. Both depend on energy as a controlling factor. Both demand total control over production and all consumption. And both insist that all decisions must be data-driven according to science. In 2015, Christiana Figueres was the head of climate change at the United Nations. And she made the following statement at a press conference in Europe. Needless to say, it was not reported even once in the United States. She literally declared war by stating, and I quote, "This is the first time in the history of mankind that we are setting ourselves the task of intentionally within a defined period of time to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution." Close quote. Changed into what? Sustainable development, which is technocracy, peddled by the Trilateral Commission starting in 1973. If you check modern literature, you will find that China has already declared itself to be the global leader in implementing sustainable development and all of its various programs. Singapore, Taiwan, South Korea, and all of Asia are rabid supporters of sustainable development. But so is Europe, India, Canada, and the entire Islamic world. Most Americans typically reject sustainable development when they realize its true nature. But here again, the names were changed and it spread to our entire nation as well. What names, you say? Smart growth, growth management, urban planning, smart cities, urban densification, public-private partnerships. These are all wrapped up in sustainable development and technocracy and are all part of the plan to destroy capitalism and free enterprise. If you're still doubtful about how I'm connecting the dots for you, then consider the case of Dr. Parag Khanna. Khanna is a rising academic star among the global elite. 10 years ago, Esquire magazine listed Khanna as one of the 75 most influential people of the 21st century, along with people like Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, Bill Gates of Microsoft, and even Deng Xiaoping of China. Currently a senior research fellow at the Yu School of Public Policy in Singapore, the global elite literally hang on every word that Khanna writes or speaks. Well, Khanna is a self-declared technocrat bent on establishing technocracy throughout the world, including America. In 2017, he published the book, Technocracy in America, Rise of the Infostate. He claims that democracy is broken and that America needs to become a direct technocracy. He praises China, Germany, and India as rising technocracies and says that America should follow in their footsteps. Well, how? Well, first, he says we should abolish the Senate and replace it with an assembly of governors from the states. Second, the Constitution should be turned over to the Supreme Court for modernization that supports technocracy. Third, the office of the president should be abolished and replaced with a committee of co-presidents, as in China. Fourth, a technocratic civil service should be given complete control over all day-to-day operations of our nation. In his book, Khanna says, China, the most populous empire in history, is trying to reorganize itself into a collection of 24 urban technocrat hubs. America should do the same. Is America's legal system fit for direct technocracy? Well, no. Juries are a waste of time and expense, according to Khanna, and should be replaced with tribunals that can settle civil disputes and issue criminal penalties quickly and efficiently. The rise of Khanna's infostate depends on big data and total surveillance. He extols Michael Bloomberg's buzzwords, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. He says that infostates thrive at the intersection of devolution and data. In a technocracy, even from the 1930s, data is everything. Everything that can be collected will be collected. Decisions are not based on input from citizens, but on scientific analysis of so-called big data. Well, this is exactly what Khanna means when he writes, quote, data-driven direct technocracy is superior to representative democracy because it dynamically captures the specific desires of the people while short-circuiting the distortions of elected representatives. Now, how is that for radical? If nothing else, I want to be clear that there is a fifth column of actors in the world today who are bent on transforming the world into a technocracy. And secondly, that scientific management of society is nothing short of a massively repressive scientific dictatorship as seen in China, for instance. These actors include the Trilateral Commission and its members, the broader global elite, the United Nations, and anyone who is implementing any part of sustainable development anywhere in the world. It is no surprise that America is under fierce attack, since we are the last pocket of economic and national freedom in the world. In their view, they must destroy us. In short, technocracy is the real enemy of our nation. If it wins, everybody will be thrown under the bus, including the useful idiots and politicians who are shoving it down our throat. Well, what made America great over the last 250 years anyway? Our political system of a constitutional republic provided the necessary container and framework, but America is great because of its spectacular economic system of capitalism and free enterprise. Without this economic system, America would be a dingy third world nation. And the fact is, if we lose our economic system, we lose everything. Now, America could overthrow a communist dictatorship. America could defeat a fascist dictatorship. But throwing off an established scientific dictatorship is all but inconceivable. And Parag Khanna gives us a clue why in his earlier book called Connectography. Quote, we are building this global society without a global leader. Global order is no longer something that can be dictated or controlled from the top down. Now listen, globalization is itself the order. Close quote. Well, this is technocracy, and it must be stopped. I'm Patrick Wood. Please visit us on the web at technocracy.news. Also check out localactivist.org on a few things you can do to stop technocracy.